Getting letters of recommendation can be a royal pain in the neck. Our guest makes it easy. Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining me for this, the 235th episode of Admission Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you show that you both fit in at your target schools and are a stand out in the applicant pool. The result? You get a message one day that causes you to jump up and down shouting, "Yes, I'm in!" And not only in, but in at the best program for you. Our guest today has a background in business, finance, and engineering, and today is an entrepreneur. Joe Polifsko graduated from the University of Alabama with a bachelor's in economics and a concurrent master's degree in finance. In addition to English, he speaks Spanish and German and spent 2012-13 teaching English in rural Spain. After graduating college in 2014, he went to work as a data scientist at Auto Vitel. He left Auto Vitel after 2 years to found Referio, a hot startup that makes getting and writing recommendations easy. We're going to learn about Joe's story, Referio service, and how to write and get really great recs. Joe, welcome to Admissions Straight Talk.
Thanks a lot for having me.
My pleasure. Now, can you tell us just to start a little bit about yourself, your background, where you grew up, stuff like that?
Sure, absolutely. Well, you did a great job of that already. I graduated from University of Alabama in 2012, as you mentioned. I was an English teaching assistant in Galicia in Spain for most of 2013. Then after that, went ahead, you know, of course, a couple internships, whatnot. Then I got my graduate degree in computational science and engineering, and then worked as a data scientist for 2 years, as you mentioned. A couple other things I'll throw out there because, you know, it's kind of relevant. I was a foreign exchange student in high school, stuff like NHS, played like 12 universities. And I was always one of those people who never really knew what I wanted to do, because I got so excited by so many different possibilities. But ended up at Alabama, did econ, and then switched to computer science for grad school. And I really enjoyed it.
How did you end up at Alabama? Is that where you're from?
Well, no. So I'm actually from the Cleveland area. I guess I flew down in the middle of February and my flight in Cleveland was delayed for 2 hours or so because it was slushing and I landed in Tuscaloosa and it was, 75 and flowers everywhere. So I think that helped a lot. I made financial sense. I had a really great experience when I visited. So, it's just one of those things. It's just kind of where life took me.
Okay. How did you come to found Referio and what is it?
Referio is a platform that makes letters of recommendation simple. So if you're applying to college, grad school, job, scholarship, study abroad, whatever it might be, and you need a letter of recommendation, you get it once. You can never see it. It's always confidential, but you can reuse it anytime for the rest of your life. And then two, it makes it easier for the recommender because it automatically formats, creates signature block, creates dates. You as the recommendee plug in your recommender's name, contact information, your recipient's name and contact information. And it even updates like letter bodies, like for admission to, Ohio State, for admission to the University of Alabama, right inside the letter body. So the only thing your recommender has to do is write the 3 to 5 paragraph letter body one time. And then we have even curated advice from the Harvard admissions office on how to write a letter of recommendation in a paragraph by paragraph wizard in a really compelling way.
Wow. So in terms of the user experience, if I want, let's say I'm applying to graduate school, okay, and I need a letter of recommendation and I'm applying to 5 different programs and I need 2 letters of recommendation total. I'm really lucky. Mm-hmm. That's all I'll need. What's my experience going to be? What are the steps I'm going to have to do if I'm using Referio?
Yeah, absolutely. So you log into the platform and, you click essentially, I'm asking for a letter of recommendation. It'll flash you a couple of questions saying, where is it going? Who are the recipients? You said you needed 2. So, please, tell us what universities that you're applying to, how you'd like us to deliver them. Is it an email address? Is there an online application we need to upload them to? Is there a physical address we need to mail them to? Then we'll ask you for all the information that we can about your recommender. So, for example, name, email address, professional address. So we can plug that all into the letter body so your recommender doesn't have to do any of that work. We'll ask you to give your recommender a few bullet points to talk about. We don't ask for resumes, and that's really, I think, important because we really want, you know, we don't want your recommender kind of just telling you, you know, reading back your resume to someone who's going to see your resume anyways. Instead, we ask you to kind of remind your recommender of a few moments that you spent together that were really important and you think kind of, you know, showed some positive personal qualities about you. And then, you know, that way we'll send a request right over to the letter writer and they don't have to worry about that. So they don't have to spend the time thinking about memories with you. They don't have to spend the time even writing their own name or formatting the letter or, you know, figuring out where it's going to go or how to deliver it. That's all kind of done for them. So it's just it's very simple. You know, less than 5 minutes to ask for one of these things. You know, you create an account, click request, answer the questions, and then, you know, your recommender will get an email asking them to do the rest.
How much does it cost?
It's free. There's two versions. There is a free version, and we do have a plus version. The free version, you know, definitely if you're applying to grad school or something like this, really recommend giving it a try, you know, see what your experience is with it. The plus version, what it really allows you to do is reuse those recommendations anytime for the rest of your life. So with the free version, you can reuse them for up to a year. But if you're, you know, if you're applying to graduate school and you had a boss who wrote you a letter of recommendation 2 years ago, you know, you can reuse that again in the future if you've got the plus version. So that's really the value prop. But again, it's free and designed to be, you know, kind of accessible to anyone.
Great. Everybody likes free. How does Referio help recommenders to write the recommendations? I mean, obviously you're filling out that, you know, you have some fields that are pre-filled in. So that's definitely a time saver. But, and you mentioned templates. Can you go into that a little bit more?
Absolutely. So there's a couple of things. So you as the recommendee will plug in your name, your recommender's name, their professional address, their email address, all that kind of stuff. You'll also say, like, I'm applying for, and again, I'll use the ones I just mentioned, Ohio State and University of Alabama. You would, you know, plug in, you know, those universities' names, you know, where you want it to go as in terms of, you know, professional address. And so when they get to the letter writing wizard, the only thing they have to do is write the 3 to 5 paragraph letter body. They don't have to worry about letter formatting. They don't have to do any of that kind of stuff. And we actually did a bunch of, you know, kind of quantitative research on what letter formats really kind of impacted readers the most. And, you know, you don't want your recommender spend, you know, tons of time trying to tweak the formatting so that you've got a really beautiful letter. But at the same time, that really does make a difference. You know, we did some experimentation with different formats and found that the format that we use, you know, readers on average kind of rate letters with the same words about 1.5 points higher on a scale of 1 to 10 if they kind of are using our like slick letter formatting. So it kind of makes a really good impression on the reader, but it doesn't take your recommender any time.
That's kind of
and
like,
then again, if you recommend, oops, I'm sorry.
Adcoms judge a letter by its formatting. I mean, we're visual. I said, adcoms judge a letter by its formatting, as opposed to
right, exactly.
People judge a book by its cover. So,
right, absolutely. It's, you know, when you see something that's really beautiful, it definitely makes an impression on you. You know, we all like to look at things that are pretty. So,
yes,
you know, it matters. It makes a difference. And then on top of that, you know, again, it just is really designed to save them time. So the only thing you have to do is write the 3 to 5 paragraph letter body one time. You know, updates for every single new recipient. Got a letter writing wizard in case they need some help in figuring out how to write a good letter. And then if you ever want to reuse that letter, if you were like me, I applied to things all the time. And so I needed letters of recommendation all the time. And so instead of constantly having to go back and being like, hey, can you send that out for me again? Mm-hmm. You just literally say, I'd like to send this letter, you know, to this new email address. And they'll get a quick email saying, hey, Joe would like to reuse this letter. Is that okay? As soon as they click yes, it's sent. So it's really designed to be, you know, a time saver for really all parties involved.
Sure. Sounds like it. I know you do this for employers too, but obviously the focus of this podcast is very much admissions in schools. How are schools reacting to this?
So, you know, this is actually the first year that we're sending them out to schools. So, but again, it's one of the concepts. I don't see why, you know, we really think this is really even a value adder for recipients as well. So one of the really interesting things about letters of recommendation in the college admissions process is that they're important, but at the same time, they're one of the things that like the applicant has kind of little control over. So for example, if you're a student who kind of comes from, you know, you go to a wealthy private school and your teachers and your guidance counselors have training in how to write really compelling letters of recommendation, then you're going to get a good letter of recommendation just kind of by merit of your teachers and guidance counselors having that training. But it's really not necessarily a reflection on you. And conversely, if you kind of come from like a disadvantaged background and your teachers and guidance counselors just don't really know how to do this in a compelling way, even if you're a top tier student and absolutely deserve to have an outstanding recommendation from them, it's not necessarily going to shine through. And so one of the things that we really pride ourselves on is that, you know, because we do have this letter writing wizard and because we are able to give really top tier advice on how to write compelling recommendations, you know, recipients really benefit from being able to kind of compare candidates in an apples to apples way. So now, even if you come from, you know, sort of a different background than, someone else, then you can still have a visually beautiful letter of recommendation. Your teacher or your letter writer can have as good of advice as possible in terms of how to write that letter of recommendation. And so, you know, a recipient really gets the benefit of kind of, you know, being able to compare candidates in a more apples to apples way, not knowing that a smaller percentage of the letter of recommendation portion is going to come from teacher training and instead, you know, really reflective of applicant quality.
Okay. Now, I know that, some graduate programs, I'm thinking, well, in medical school, you have committee letters. Some schools want committee letters. Some schools have optional committee letters. Some schools don't want them at all. Some undergraduate programs create them. Some don't. In the business school space, GMAC is trying to set up its own letter of recommendation service. I think in the law school space, LSAC already has it. So you're dealing with a lot of different entities. And of course, then you have just individual schools who have each their own policies. Some have forms, some want a letter. How are you handling that? Are you at the moment only dealing with programs that ask for a letter as opposed to filling out a form, especially if it's their specific form? How's that working for you folks at this point?
Right. So for us, we can't, of course, fill out a form on anyone's behalf. So it really kind of depends on what the program is. Uh-huh. So in terms of, we can't fill out forms. And there's also really not any, value or reusability of kind of these, individual school forms. So there's really no sort of way, that we can really create a lot of value there. So no, what we're really focused on is the actual letter component of the application. So mm-hmm. Certainly some schools that do have forms allow you to separately upload letters. If they are sort of combined in one process, then, recommenders can use the letters that they've previously written and tweet them for new schools, or actually it'll be automatically tweaked. For new schools, just download them directly from the platform and upload them themselves. But we're not able to deliver them, but we discovered that in, the plurality of cases, we're still able to send those along even when schools do have, separate forms.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense to me. And of course, I think it's still true that the majority of programs really just want a letter of recommendation. So your service would certainly be a value to all those people dealing with that vast number of schools and programs, not to mention jobs.
Right.
Now, some schools, let's put it this way. I mean, one of the things that we advise applicants to do when they're applying, whether it's with their essays or letters of recommendation, it's to tailor the letter of recommendation or their essays to the specific school that are applying to, even if their life's not going to change, even if their goals are consistent, there are nuances that should be brought out or highlighted depending upon the program that they're applying to. Does your system allow for that? Or is it basically, you upload the letter and then it's forwarded?
So that, I think, is really dependent upon, you know, what the recommender wants to do. So what we've made an effort to do is, you know, and of course we can, in a completely automated way, update, you know, we can say, we can change things from, you know, for admission to one university to for admission to a different university in the letter body. And we've actually discovered, you know, doing, again, this sort of quantitative research that we've done in terms of, you know, how readers perceive letters. We've done research that, you know, including the university that we used was for admission to Carnegie Mellon versus for admission to your university. When with that, just that tiny little tweak, including the name of the university inside the letter body, makes a significant difference in the perception of the reader. And again, it's something about that, just that feeling of, okay, this is really targeted at me. And you know, so kind of piggybacking on what you were referring to, you know, what our software absolutely allows letter writers to do is go through and tweak letters for every, you know, if they would like to send a tailored version to each different university, then they can absolutely do so. But it's really designed for what I think is true in most cases being, you know, if you're a high school student and you're applying to 10 universities, you know, most high school teachers are not going to find the time to write 10 different versions of that letter. So we're able to kind of automate that one process of, you know, for admission to Carnegie Mellon and, you know, for admission to Ohio State and every single one. At the same time, if teachers wanted to go ahead and take that extra effort and write, you know, something specific to each university, they can absolutely do so. But it's not for us to, you know, kind of write letters on people's behalf. You know, the goal of these is to really have something that has integrity and actually tells people, you know, what people actually think of you.
Right. Now, what you're saying makes complete sense. And I think a lot of times it is just a matter of change. It's like when you use somebody's name in a letter, you personalize that letter as opposed to hi friend, or dear John. I mean, dear Joe. They're writing to me. So that makes perfect sense. And there are many times, especially with letters of recommendations, where the recommenders don't want to take the time to tweak the content. But I can definitely see where changing the name of the school means they put in more effort, and that effort is certainly going to be valued and recognized. At least
right, exactly. Effort.
Yeah. How can applicants get great recommendations from the recommenders? What can they do besides using Referio to help their recommenders write great recommendations?
Absolutely. So that's a great question. I think that's one that we get all the time. And I think there's actually, you know, a lot more to it than most people realize. So the number one piece of advice I would give is that recommendees should really look for a story that they'd like the recommender to tell. So, you know, and sometimes recommenders come up with these on their own, but for someone who, if there's something that you think, you know, my application should really highlight, you know, that I'm a hard worker, then you should remind your letter writer of that time that you know, stayed 2 hours after school to study for a test or whatever it might be. And that reminding recommenders of specific things that you've done and that they've interacted with you, rather than like handing them a resume, makes an enormous difference. And this is actually, you know, proven time and time again that people, the best letter, the most important thing a letter writer can do to boost an applicant's chance of success is by telling a story, not listing, you know, not listing facts. So instead of saying, Joe works really hard, if it's your, you know, again, I'm using the example of a high school teacher, instead of saying Joe works really hard, you could say, you know, Joe stuck around in my classroom, you know, for 2 or 3 hours after school one day to prepare for an upcoming test. And that makes a big difference. Just the way people perceive that, they can kind of figure out for themselves that Joe works really hard and they've got an example to kind of back it up in their mind. So it just really cements it much more. So the number one thing that you can do if you want to get a compelling letter of recommendation is to go ahead and remind, you know, your letter writer of specific things that you two have done together or specific moments you've been together that highlight the qualities that you want to show in your letter. I would say the number two thing is really, you know, make it as easy as possible for them. So as an example, you know, if you're not using Referio, if you want to have a letter that you think, you know, you want your letter to be visually appealing, you want your, you know, your recommender to save as much time as you can, you want, you know, you want them to be kind of enthusiastic as they're working on this for you. So what I would say is go online, download a really beautiful letter template, then, you know, update it for your recommender. So plug in your recommender's name, plug in your recommender's professional address, plug in your recipient's name, plug in your recipient's professional address, you know, even sort of create like signature block. Obviously you can't put in their actual signature, but you can plug in their name below the signature block and, you know, make it really nicely formatted. So, and then you can email them sort of this blank Word document that the only thing that they have to do is, again, write the 3 to 5 paragraph letter body. When they get that in their inbox saying, hey, I've already created this for you, I want to save you as much time as I could. And, you know, here, you know, the only thing you have to do is write the 3 to 5 paragraph letter body. They get that and they're like, wow, that was, you know, that was really nice. They really invested the time in this. Like, you know, they're trying to save me as much time as they can. It makes a great impression on them, puts them in a good mood as they're writing the letter about you. And you can feel really confident that you're getting a better letter because you know it's personalized for the recipient. You know it looks beautiful because you've done the work yourself. So those would be the number one and number two things I would say.
Great. Thank you so much. And then this is probably the flip side or closely related to number one in your previous answer, but how can recommenders write powerful, compelling, persuasive recommendations that provide the third-party perspective and the endorsement that applicants are looking for?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, I think the number one thing, as I mentioned, is telling that story. So, you know, if you're trying to write somebody a good letter of recommendation, you know, if you're going through and reading their resume and then kind of listing back, you know, sentences on their resume, that it doesn't have any impact, because the point of the letter of recommendation in sort of this application process is to add the human side. You know, there's the essay which does it, but it's the essay, the human side from someone else's perspective. And if what you're listing is, you know, I know Joe did this and I know Joe did this and I know Joe did this, then it's like, well, why do we even care? You know, why do we even care to hear from you? So the most important thing you can do is like think about a few moments. And again, that's I think the number one misperception about the letter of recommendation. It's not so much to wow people in terms of what the applicant has accomplished. It's really more to kind of reveal, you know, the qualities that you think are most important in terms of why they should be admitted, why they should be accepted. So. I think it really comes back to those two points that I made, you know, that visual appeal definitely matters. You know, trying to understand this, how this can be perceived from the reader's perspective matters. But I think that, you know, really telling a story and telling something about a specific time that the two of you interacted is the number one thing that you can do.
Right. Basically, I mean, again, from my perspective, the recommendation is there to provide a third party perspective on the human being that's applying to graduate school. And if the recommender just talks in generalities or talks about even attributes in generalities without the backup of a specific example or story, they are usually damning with faint praise. Mm-hmm. It's the combination of a specific tied to the attributes that they derive from that specific story or anecdote that makes for a really, really powerful recommendation. And again, that third party perspective that they're looking for.
Absolutely. And to piggyback on that point, I think that's a really interesting point. So as I mentioned, I did my undergrad at University of Alabama. I got my master's at Harvard. And so when I applied to Harvard, I applied for my master's in computational science and engineering. But I actually had one of my poli sci professors write my recommendation. And the reason for that was, you know, we had worked together a couple of times outside of class. I didn't do any research with her or anything like this, but I just really trusted, you know, she kind of knew me as a person a little bit better. And I, you know, kind of trusted that it would, you know, she was going to, you know, find specific moments that, you know, she could tell about me. And, you know, I never saw it, you know, it's a confidential letter. I never saw it. I don't really know what was said, but I got in and I didn't do it with the help of, you know, a recommendation from a math professor. I did it with the help of a recommendation from a poli sci professor.
Right. Okay. Let's go back to Referio for a moment. I know there are listeners with their own startup dreams. I'm kind of changing direction. I think we've talked about the letters of recommendation. I think you've given fantastic advice for that. But I'd like to talk now about Referio again, because I know there are listeners with their own startup dreams listening in. What's been the hardest part for you in getting Referio off the ground?
That's interesting. So I think I think if you're really interested in and this is anything in life. This is graduate school. This is startuping. This is really I think most anything that you really want to do or get started with something new. You don't really know what you're doing. I had not previously run a business. I actually was not even previously a software engineer. I was I did the analytics side. So in terms of just the amount of learning that goes on, I had to learn software engineering so I could build the product. Had to learn marketing so I could market the product. I had to really research recommendations a lot in order to make sure that we were creating a product that actually had value for people. So I think it's just, I think it's just like anything. I think, the number one thing is, underestimating the amount of barriers that stand in the way of getting something done. But it's cool. If you keep overcoming those, that you keep making progress, you'll eventually get there.
Right. How did you get the idea for Referio?
And this is, it's funny. I should have started with this. I should have started with my own story. And I do apologize for that. But so I was in high school. I was a foreign exchange student. I spent my sophomore year of high school in Germany. Uh-huh. I came back. I applied to National Honor Society. Then I applied to like 10 or 12 universities for undergrad. My parents didn't help me out with college. So I applied to a lot of different scholarships. Freshman year, I applied to, Model United Nations team at our school. I applied to some leadership programs on campus. Sophomore year, I studied abroad in Morocco. I'm probably forgetting a few things. But then my senior year, I applied to teach English abroad with a couple of different programs. So I applied to teach English in Indonesia and China and Spain. And then I also applied to grad school in case I didn't get into any of those. And then I did get into one of those. So the next year I had to reapply to grad school. So I just needed these letters of recommendation all the time. It was one of those things where I was constantly going back to, teachers and professors and saying, I would really, can you send that out again? Can you send that out again? And the other thing is, as you're kind of trusting your future to somebody else's hand, there's two things. One, you feel bad that you're burdening them with all this extra work. They're busy, you're busy. And you're asking them to do you a favor, and you're asking them to do you a favor again and again and again. And then two, I've always applied widely and then kind of chosen from what I got into. But you don't really know. The letter of recommendation is kind of the one part of the experience that you have the least control over. You don't really know whether or not your recommender wrote you a compelling recommendation. You don't really know whether, the one that you got was good. And so, that was kind of the concept. It was twofold. One, to make it as easy as possible on the recommender because they're doing you a favor and you want to help them out. And then two, you want to make sure it's good. You want to make sure that you're boosting your chances as much as you can. And so just kind of scratching my own itch, decided to go for it.
That's, of course, a great way to start a business if you see a need and your new business is meeting that need. That seems to me like what you're doing. Now,
right.
And a lot of successful businesses start that way. Mm-hmm. I noticed that Referio is headquartered in Cleveland, and I know you mentioned that you're originally from Cleveland, and you moved to Cleveland from Boston. I understand that Cleveland is a wonderful place to live, really great quality of life, but it's not known as a startup hotbed like Boston, for example, LA, New York City, or of course Silicon Valley. Why did you choose to launch your business from Cleveland, or was it just that it was your hometown?
So I think it's a combination of both. I think there are two things. So one is certainly that I'm from here and, have connections here and care to, do something that's, helpful for where I'm from. But then two, I think, the real concept I think of Referio is really about opportunity. So, this is one of those things, this is a platform that says, you want to apply to grad school, you want to apply to, whatever it might be, you need this. it's kind of a pain, but don't let it stand in your way. Now you can go do it, and you can, you know, be confident that you've got a tool that's helpful to you there. So it's really about kind of expanding people's like ability to pursue the goals that they want to pursue. And I think for me, kind of in that mentality, it was really important to try and launch it somewhere that does have a little less opportunity. So I think that, you know, somewhere like, you know, San Francisco, there's just so many tech startups and so many companies that are growing there that, you know, literally people are getting priced out of, you know, the metro region, that even software engineers are getting priced out of the metro region, let alone janitors. And, you know, I think that from that perspective, the thought process is, you know, this is a platform about opportunity. So let's create some opportunity in a region of the country that could use a little more, and, you know, could use some growth. And so I think, you know, that's really kind of the two driving factors behind the choice.
Okay. It's kind of interesting because I have occasionally spoken to entrepreneurs and young professionals who very deliberately chose to work in a part of the country that is not known as an entrepreneurial hotspot, provided they could easily get to the entrepreneurial hotspots, because it's less money. The cost of living.
Right, absolutely. And that absolutely adds value. You know, my salary is much lower, I think, than it would be if I were in California. So no, I that absolutely, you know, and that's valuable because it, you know, creates value for consumers as well. It keeps prices low. So that's a great point as well.
Right. One of my kids was in Silicon Valley and moved to Maryland. And one of the reasons was the costs were ridiculous.
Right. Exactly.
So anyways, what do you find most rewarding about running and founding and running your own business?
I think it's just an exciting thing to do. So, you know, it's really rewarding. What I found, I think, is most rewarding is, you know, I'm really excited about the product. I really believe in the product that we've developed here. I think that's the most rewarding thing. I think this is something that, again, this was a product that I wanted to create because it was a problem in my life. And so, you know, now knowing that this exists and that it would have had value for me when I was a little bit younger, you know, it feels good. I think that's the thing I find most rewarding, is really kind of believing in our product, versus, you know, but there's lots of things. It's a much more, you know, when you're running your own business, you're, you know, very fast paced and you're constantly thinking and, you know, trying to figure out solutions to new problems. But I think I really love our product.
It sounds like a great one. It's also very, it's a very creative process when you're starting your own business.
Mm-hmm. Right now. Absolutely. Right now. Yes, absolutely. It's a very engaging work for sure.
What's in your crystal ball for Refurio?
So that's a great question. There are a whole lot of things in our crystal ball. I think that it'll just depend on kind of where, you know, what consumers tell us they want. We'd really love it if the, you know, graduate school applications that you're working on now, that, you know, once you get those recommendations, we'd love for you to really be able to use them when you're applying to jobs. And obviously, you know, you can with our platform. That's a core feature of the platform. But we'd love to make that even easier, in the sense that, you know, we're really trying to look at one of the products that we're thinking about developing, and this is still a little bit down the road, but we're thinking about saying, hey, you know, you've already got these recommendations, you know, employers would sometimes rather hear, you know, what people who have worked with you think than what's actually on your resume, or certainly maybe they'd like to see both. So that's definitely on our minds. There, you know, some of the other things that you mentioned, like you mentioned forms, for example, of course, you know, that kind of product is also on our minds. So there's a lot of different directions things can go. We're young and we're nimble, so we'll see where the market takes us.
Sounds good. So there's a lot of opportunity for you out there to expand and grow. What do you wish I would have asked you?
Huh. I don't know. You did a really great job, not gonna lie.
Anything else you'd like to share?
You know, not really. I would say, you know, if this is something that intrigues you, you know, we are still a young company and we are a small team and very nimble, and, you know, we're definitely always looking for feedback from people. So if you know, if you're listening to this and you think like, hey, this is a great idea, you know, let us know and let us know why. And if you listen to this and you think, hey, this is a terrible idea, then let us know and let us know why. And we can, you know, we're, you know, small enough, that, you know, we can really do we can act pretty fast and make a lot of changes when we need to. So if somebody has, things that they want to share with us, I think that we're very open to it.
Sounds good. Okay. Joe, I think we're running out of time and you have a lot to do. You have all these ideas in your head and a lot to accomplish. So I want to thank you again for joining me for this podcast.
Thanks for having me.
And I appreciate you sharing your experience and perspective. Where can listeners learn more about Refereo and your work?
Absolutely. So if you want to follow us, check out Refereo. It's RESERRIO.com. So that's a double R. And we're actually thinking about starting our own podcast about chasing opportunity. So, check. We don't have it quite up yet. But it's similar vein or not really similar vein, but, thoughts about, different opportunities you can pursue. So if you want to study abroad, here's a podcast on here's an opportunity there. If you want to apply to grad school, or if you want to get a job, or if you want to do a fellowship, all just different options and kind of exploring the different things that exist in the world and the different life paths you can pursue. So we're that's an option. But we're easy to find. You got our contact information on our website, so we're always looking for feedback.
Sounds good. Okay, we'll link to your website from Excepted.com/235. as well as to other related resources that we have here at Excepted. Listener, thank you too for tuning in to this, our 235th episode. If you find the show worthwhile, please make sure you don't miss any others. Subscribe through your favorite podcatcher. We have subscribe links in the show notes at excepted.com/235. This is a Mission Straight Talk produced by Excepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.